You're listening to a 9to5.cc podcast.
Hey everyone, just a quick reminder that if you're going to be making any purchases on Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, or Zazzle.com, please go to www.9to5.cc first and click the links in the sidebar or at the bottom of the page to support the site. It makes no difference to you, but it really helps us out a lot. Enjoy the show. Thanks. Fantasia, or I guess at this point, hello movie fans, because Fantasia ended yesterday. It is Friday.
I'm very sad about that.
But we still have four more days of content. Maybe five if you count the 9to5sies.
That we do.
And we're just going to keep putting out podcasts forever. Today, we are going to be talking about the documentary about GIF star in 2014, once upon a time movie star, Wang Wang.
That's right.
In Search for Wang Wang. Mm-hmm. And also a semi biographical film about a real person who put a big head on his body and made a band called Frank.
Yep.
Tell me about Wang Wang.
Wang Wang. Okay, so The Search for Wang Wang is a documentary and is a Australian or New Zealander, I'm sorry, I couldn't pick out the accent, movie buff who was like obsessed with this dude, this little guy, Wang Wang.
If you don't know who Wang Wang is,
you've
probably seen GIFs of a guy who looks like he's kind of in a James Bond movie and he's super small, and they toss him around and there's these weird action sequences. They pop up on Reddit and 4chan.
Yeah, all over the place.
All over the place. Like weird, like if you've seen a like weird reaction GIF which involves a little man in a suit being tossed around, that's Wang Wang.
This one, actually, the one that I hadn't remembered it going into the movie, but then when I saw it happen on screen, I was like, oh, that guy. He jumps down a flight of stairs and then lands basically on top of two guys who have guns, and he just, like, kicks at them, but it's so feeble and silly because the guy is, like, clearly just a little bit under 3 feet tall, and these guys are, like, 6 foot tall goons, and he, like, incapacitates them.
Yeah, exactly. There's other clips of them where, like, people just, like, toss him at things.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was from a movie that was For Your Height Only. which was, yes, exactly, a James Bond ripoff. And apparently that's what Wang Wang got known for. And he did like six or seven. He was in about 10 movies,
Jesus.
Of which he starred in six. These were all made in the Philippines. And
they're all like James Bond spoofs.
They're all James Bond spoofs, basically. Well, there might have been some other stuff, but they really focused on that aspect of it. And the story of the documentary is this documentarian who really was like, really digged these movies, thought they were hilarious, showed them to all his friends, and wanted to go and meet the guy and find out the story. And when he started investigating for the documentary, he got nothing out of anybody in the Philippines. Nobody knew who he was. Nobody wanted to talk about him, even though he's kind of a movie star in the Philippines.
Yeah.
You may not know this, but for quite a while, the Philippines was the third most productive film market in the world.
Period.
And even for a long time in the 70s and 80s, the second biggest.
Jesus.
Like, the Philippines puts out shitloads of movies that we never, ever hear of, never go anywhere, obviously, because they're tiny, no-budget Philippines actions bullshit. But it's a gigantic movie-making place.
Yeah, exactly. So, like if you make a movie and and you charge 50 cents for it, but everyone in the Philippines goes, you just made millions of dollars.
Exactly. And now, quick, off the top of your head, name the Filipino movie stars that you can think of. Is the answer Wang Wang?
Wang Wang.
That's right. So too is it for most people, right? And so this guy was mystified by Wang Wang, chased after him, and what pursues is what ensues is a documentary that goes to all kinds of wonderful places, really, really goes above and beyond what you're expecting out of a film like this. Mm-hmm. It was delightful to behold.
It seemed, from the trailers, seemed a little like Vice-like, almost. Maybe with a sillier topic than Vice would normally pursue.
Yeah.
But like from the trailers, you're like, oh, wow, they get really into it. Like they go to like the far reaches of the Philippines and like go into like the depths and like track down former washed-up movie stars and whatever.
Washed-up
like,
directors from the 70s.
Yeah, exactly. Like they
people who did way too many drugs back then. Yeah. They end up talking to I don't want to talk more because I'm going to spoil what happens. In a similar sense to Kung Fu Elliot, this movie goes to like a crazy place that's not expected as it goes on. Now, it's not as good as Kung Fu Elliot, the place that it goes to, and consequently the documentary is not as surprising.
Yeah.
But that, like Kung Fu Elliot was certainly something of extremely high praise. This one is something of high praise.
Right.
So still very good. Absolutely worth seeing. If you're into documentaries, go check this out. If you're a film buff, go check this out. Other than that, I can't wait to talk about it in the spoiler section.
Okay, this sounds like a pretty easy to recommend in terms of if someone Again, if someone sounds like you're like, oh shit, a documentary about finding a weird little Filipino star from the 70s who did James Bond spoofs, if that idea excites you, go see Search for Wing Wang. If you're like, why would I watch that? I guess probably skip it. Like, yeah. I don't think it's so captivating.
Or
like,
if you're just into documentaries, this is still like a well-crafted documentary. And it's like a slice of life that you'll never hear about.
Yeah, otherwise. So it doesn't quite cross into like, I would make someone who's not even into documentaries watch Kung Fu Elliot.
Oh, yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, I would be like, no, this is still worth it. Is Wang Wang just like kind of docu-territory?
No, man. Anybody who's into film.
Okay.
Like that, on its own, it'll stand on that leg.
That works, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about Frank.
Frank.
Frank was the quirky indie comedy of the year.
It was?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, but it's August.
Yeah. Well, that's what it was. So
I'm telling you.
If you remember seeing like Chasing Miss Sunshine or whatever, or
Little Miss Sunshine.
Yeah, or the one about the little girl who gets pregnant, Juno.
Juno.
Or whatever. If, like, quirky indie comedy of the year appeals to you...
Be Kind, Rewind.
This one will delight you on every level. And okay. If quirky indie comedy of the year kind of pissed you off...
500 Days of Summer.
Yeah. If any of those films pissed you off, this one will also piss you off.
Right.
I was charmed. I thought it was really fun. I thought the characters were really good. Frank himself was mysterious and hilarious. The What's-Her-Face was especially excellent.
Maggie Gyllenhaal,
mm-hmm. Yeah. She played, like, she was kind of the villain... In a sense,
okay,
like a driver,
the foil,
a foil or a driver of conflict mm-hmm. is what I was gonna say. Basically, the story is there's this this guy who is a keyboard player mm-hmm. Living in England somewhere or one of the British Isles, trying to get inspiration to make songs.
Mm-hmm.
He is at the beach and he accidentally runs into a music group whose keyboardist is attempting to kill himself and gets dragged off to a hospital.
Okay.
So they're keyboarder-less for a show that they have to play that night. They randomly pick this guy up, and he ends up playing with them, and the lead singer of the band is, for some reason, sees something in him and decides to drag him along.
Okay.
And the person who that is Frank, the titular character.
Mm-hmm.
And, he wears a gigantic head.
He's the lead singer or the keyboardist?
He's the lead singer.
Okay.
The keyboardist is, like, kind of the narrator of the story. So, this is the early part of the movie. I just want to get into the setup because it's kind of interesting. So, mm-hmm. So after they do that one show... it goes spectacularly horribly, and the guy figures the whole thing is done. But then Frank shows up and is like, or Frank's producer shows up and is like, listen, we're going to go do a show. You're in the band. Come meet us here and get on the bus, and we'll go. And then they hop on a bus. They go off to what he thinks is a show, but is, in fact, the middle of nowhere, hundreds of miles from anywhere, in a little cabin where they're going to get locked in the cabin until they manage to make their record. And okay. launch their record. So he's like, what the fuck? All of a sudden, he's like trapped with these people, has no idea how to get out. But he's like, okay, this is it. You know, I'm going to finally find my inspiration here.
Yeah.
And while he's doing it, he starts blogging on his phone, which is like the only contact the group has with the outside world. So unbeknownst to the rest of the members of the band, they're developing like a Twitter, YouTube, internet presence that is just like growing as they spend more and more time in this mysterious fucking off in the woods
place.
That's
kind of fun.
Yeah. And like, because the characters are all like locked in this place with each other, you know, the all of the conflicts come up to a head and they have to deal with them inside of that environment. And then they go to play South by Southwest and mm-hmm. then that's the climax of the movie.
Okay.
So,
and this is also kind of a big deal because Michael Fassbender is in the head.
He is in the head. And
he was on Stephen Colbert like I think 2-3 days ago.
Really?
In the head.
Did he in the head?
I think so. He did part of it without of it, and as far as I read, I think he did part of it in the head.
Well, he was spectacular. He was funny. He was, like, engaging.
Not just Magneto.
Yes, not just Magneto.
Also head.
And honestly, for him to, like, carry it, but he was definitely, like, the force of the film,
mm-hmm.
and he did that without ever showing his expression. Although, I won't say utterly if he never takes off the helmet, because that's, like, you know.
Like Magneto?
That's like Magneto. The helmet, does it stay on? Does it come off? You never know.
Yeah, exactly.
So, again, though, this is, like, quirky indie comedy territory. If that style of film amuses mm-hmm, you, mm-hmm. you have to go see this, because this is the next one, and it's amazing. Mm-hmm. And if that style annoys you, fucking stay away, because this is going to annoy the shit out of you.
Kind of sounds like pretty much a safe, like, an actual date movie bet.
Yes, absolutely. Super
like a date movie with a girl who you don't want to like tear your eyes out after you watch a terrible rom-com or something.
Absolutely. And even more, there's stuff to discuss at the end, like how because it ends in a very good, ambiguous kind of way. So like there's definitely it's definitely worth talking about. All in all, like it's a very smart movie and it just the only thing it suffered from is being in that like ultra clean, everybody has the smooth dialogue in its quirky indie sense.
Like
you know,
Aaron
like,
Sorkin.
Everybody feels like
everybody talks like an Aaron Sorkin. I don't know. I haven't seen it, but I'm just saying. But I know that a lot of indie stuff suffers from everybody talking like it's an Aaron Sorkin film.
Yeah.
You know, Aaron Sorkin, yeah. Like Social Network and whatever else like that. You're like, why is everyone so clever?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. like that's definitely there. And like, the characters are all, like, spectacularly quirky in their own unique and wonderful way. Like, and you're just like, oh, my God, fucking, you guys are so unique and special.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I wear floral print dress.
Right.
Or whatever.
So, whatever. I still highly recommend this to anybody. This is, like, everybody will have a good time at this.
You want to spoil things,
John? I do want to spoil things.
All right.
All right, so,
hold on.
These are the spoilers.
Let's do Wang Wang really quick. Wang Wang gets really sad. The guy died.
Yeah, it was like that. I think that might even be in the blurb that he's passed. Like, it's not a secret. You can Google Wang Wang and know that he died.
He died of heart failure, poor, impoverished, alone, with none of the money, the millions and millions of dollars that he raked in, because he was like a really successful star.
Right.
And he basically all got it yoinked from him by the people who took care of him. Mm-hmm. He was treated like a child his entire life, even though he was an adult man with adult sexual urges. Every woman ever treated him like a little boy, made fun of him, whatever, and he was, like, bitter and hurt about it and never, ever found resolution.
You think you have it rough?
I do.
at least you're not Wang Wang.
At least I'm not Wang Wang. What is crazy about this, though, is that somehow this dude was connected to Imelda Marcos, who is, like, the empress of the Philippines. And the directors go to talk to her, to interview her about Wang Wang, mm-hmm. and she thinks that they're there to, like, interview her because it's her birthday, and of course the media is going to show up because it's her birthday. So they get invited to, like, state dinners and whatever as the official press, and they're like, what the fuck are we doing here? How is this even happening? And they get brought around in her big fancy car and whatever. It's like totally crazy, but yeah, ultimately a very sad story and totally entertaining the way through. That's all I have to say about that. I'm not gonna
just Frank,
really nothing else to spoil in there. Frank, so he does, I guess he does take off his little helmet at the end, and the end. Okay, so basically, the band completely fucks everything up horribly.
Okay.
And it's all because of the protagonist of the film, the main character, the keyboardist, mm-hmm. who never really had inspiration and kind of just wanted to be famous.
Yeah.
And he only, like, realizes it at the end after he's, like, spectacularly fucked everything up in the band.
Oh.
So it ends kind of, like, on a really dark note, you know? And
like Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. Little.
Like, think about if there was no Return of the Jedi. Empire Strikes Back, end, you'd be like, oh, what?
I know exactly what you're saying, but like, fucking picking one random-ass movie. Anyway, the still, you know, these kinds of movies are, like, about the journey, and it's totally rewarding experience. I we can talk about individual moments. This movie has one of the funniest sex scenes that has ever been filmed.
Because he's in the head?
No, it's not Frank. It's between the main character, who's this, like, super awkward, nerdy, whatever, and Maggie Gyllenhaal's character, who's, like, the over-dominating, evil, kind of the Yoko Ono of the group, almost.
Okay.
And she fucks him and uses him while they're in a hot tub, and she's just, like, jamming his head under the water, maybe getting off on the fact that she's, like, battering his head into the wall of the thing and then trying to drown him. And then she's, like, they're, like, sitting there in the afterglow, kind of, like, half-naked in the hot tub.
Yeah.
And he's like, so, are we in love now? And she's like, I despise you. It's just so good. Yeah, quirky comedy, man. It's full of shit like that. But
I'll watch it.
You really should. And anybody else, you should totally go see this too. I don't want to say anything else. It was wonderful. Go see it.
All right. That's exciting.
Yeah, what's coming up next?
This was Friday.
Yep.
Tomorrow will be Saturday.
Okay.
We will be talking about the German film Wetlands.
Oh boy, Wetlands.
And we will be talking about the, I feel like, Norwegian film When Animals Dream.
Yes, it was. I don't know if it was Norwegian exactly, but it was from up there. And Wetlands, I promise you, is moist.
Gross. Also, stay tuned for on Tuesday. Well, actually, no. I think probably tomorrow we might have the nominees for the 9 to 5 Z's.
Ooh,
will be
that's
up.
Exciting.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
If you're still listening to us, we we do that every year where we nominate things based on categories that we kind of make up,
yep.
with a few exceptions. And we'll be announcing the winners of those on Tuesday.
Hooray!
So listen to those on Tuesday.
See you tomorrow, friends.
Bye! Hey guys, it's me again. Just a quick reminder, 9to5.cc is a fan-made, fan-supported website. That means we don't have any sort of an advertising budget. The only way we really have to get our name out there is by our fans sharing us, liking us, and supporting us. So if you enjoy what we're doing, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We're there. Tell your friends that this podcast is happening, and it's a lot of fun. Also, if you like what we're doing, we do have a podcast for the rest of the year, John and I, called 9 to 5 Entertainment System that we do with the other founders of the sites, Scott and Sophie. And we also have another podcast that we do through the rest of the year called Go Plug Yourself, for myself and Walter J. Ling. Talk to people that have interesting stuff coming up in Montreal. So once again, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We're on both of them. If you see us at the festival, come say hey, and keep listening and keep enjoying the show. We're going to try to keep having episodes pretty much on a daily basis. Fantasia has been so great so far. So yeah, I'm done. Here we go. Thanks for listening.
9to5.cc. We're not working. Why should you? Thanks for listening.